Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. So what does it take to be a great leader? Are there shortcuts? How can you spend your limited time in ways that build a culture that attracts and keeps great people? If you're struggling to find time to do the leadership stuff you know you should be doing, well, there's a book for you. Finding Time to Lead, 7 Practices to Unleash Outrageous Potential from national leadership expert Leslie Peters. Drawn from her more than 20 years of experience working side by side with leaders of new organizations and new leaders in established companies. Leslie is the founder, CEO, and chief facilitator of Elements Partnership, a consulting practice that helps people and organizations get unstuck. With her team, she provides dynamic, interactive learning that shifts perspectives, builds relationships, and creates new behaviors. A bachelor's degree in English and an MBA from Washington University in St. Louis, author of Finding Time to Lead, 7 Practices to Unleash Outrageous Potential, Leslie Peters with us on This Week in America. Leslie, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here. I'm excited to talk with you.
It is such an exciting book, and let's start with something that's sort of shocking when you really look at it, that CEOs often spend a lot of time and struggle because what they believe makes a great leader is actually 180 degrees from what the best leaders do. Talk about that, because many people are going about it in the wrong way.
Sure. So I think that we tend to think that leaders, a couple of things. First of all, that they should have all of the answers. If I go to them and ask a question, they will have the answer. And I think that that is just not really true. I think that it's not possible to have all of the answers anymore because things are so complex. And it actually is sort of this weird paradox. People come and say, what's the answer? And you want to give them the answer. And yet they know you don't really know a lot of times. And then if you don't give them the answer, you feel like you're letting them down. So it's a tough thing. But I think that letting go of the idea that we're supposed to have all of the answers is a good place to start.
And people are concerned about time. And you talk about the fact that it really doesn't take that much time. It takes focused time on the things that you really need to do that matter most. Talk about that, because time is a big factor in this, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I think that we sometimes use time as kind of an excuse.
Yes.
I don't have time for that. And it just lets us off the hook more than we should let ourselves off the hook. So that's one piece. And then the other thing that I talk a lot about, kind of the whole premise of the book, is that leadership is not something you do, it's someone you are. So every time you walk into a meeting, every time you send an email, every time you have a conversation, you're actually leading, particularly if you're the CEO or the head of the department. People are looking to you to determine how they should be behaving. And so paying attention to how you show up all the time saves so much time in the long run and is actually a big piece of leading. We tend to think it's a lot about doing and being busy, and it is about doing, and leaders are busy. But if you can really take the time to just focus on how you're showing up all the time, it can end up saving you a lot of time later.
Well, in the book, Finding Time to Lead, you talk about busyness, and you do think that, I need to be busy. And you say sometimes that really can be a sign of anxiety or distress. How can you tell if you're really busy in a good way or busy because you're showing some anxiety?
Sure. I think it's funny. We tend to think of sort of busyness as like part of the show, right? It's
exactly.
Part of what we
yes.
have to be, particularly as leaders. And we're busy telling people how busy we are to prove that we have, that we're on it. And I think what happens is a lot of the things that keep us very, very busy, answering emails, getting to that phone call, doing little things that we can check off our list, having this conversation, really sort of feeds our own sort of sense of accomplishment in really quick hits, right? Our brain actually gets a hit of dopamine when we can check something off the list or feel like we've done something. But those are sort of, in many ways, the easy things to do. It's really separating from some of that day-to-day busyness and looking at the big picture, the really complex issues that is important as a leader, and we often replace all of that everyday busyness because it feels better than moving into that scary space of having to really think about things that are unpredictable and unexpected and that we can't really know, but we do need to spend some time considering, is a lot harder. So we tend to fill in with all those day-to-day busy things because it actually, even though we complain a lot about it, it actually makes us feel better.
Finding Time to Lead is the name of the book, Seven Practices to Unleash Outrageous Potential. Leslie Peters, National Leadership Expert, is our guest in the program, the author. Her website is findingtimetolead.com. Book is available all across the country. You can link on directly to Leslie's website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and giving us little tips and things that we can do. I guess it goes back to the I don't know. When somebody asks us a question, we want to be able to answer it, and we want to be able to do it quickly. And you say take time, take a deep breath, and count to 10. Talk about why that's so important, because so often we want to come up with an answer and we want to do it immediately to act like we know what we're talking about.
Right, exactly. It just feels really good to give someone an answer and to give it quickly. and it is sort of, you know, I talk about three shifts in the book, and one of them is the shift from reacting to responding. So that reaction is that quick sort of, here's the quick answer. And if you can build in a little bit of time, you can actually respond, which is a much more thoughtful way of answering a question or having a conversation. And so I talk in the book about, you know, there's a reason in preschool that we teach kids to take a breath and count to 10, because it actually allows us to get to the thinking part of our brain. It's a physiological response. And particularly, that's where that busyness comes in, too. I'm so busy, I got to get all this done, and so I'm going to give you a quick answer because then I can check it off the list and move on. But I haven't actually taken just a moment to breathe and consider what you're asking me, what the bigger implications are, how I might respond to that in a way that's going to move things forward in the longer term and not just give us both the quick fix that feels better and moves us along more quickly. And so that's why it's really good to take that pause and sometimes to just say, I don't know. Let's ask someone else who does know. It's also a way of honoring the people around you and their own expertise and not always kind of hogging the spotlight.
In the book, you talk about taming your leadership lizard brain. Talk about that and what the reaction is and how we can go about stopping that lizard brain reaction.
Sure. So the lizard brain is sort of what we call the oldest part of our brain. It's great because it has kept us alive as a species. We need it. We needed it a lot more when we were being chased by saber-toothed tigers than we do now. But our lizard brain still responds in those extreme fight-or-flight ways. And so that's exactly sort of the part of that taking a breath and counting to 10. We get Daniel Goleman in Emotional Intelligence talks about getting flooded, those moments when all of those chemicals come flooding into us and we literally can't get to the thinking part of our brain. All we're doing inside is sort of thinking fight or flight, figuring out the best way to get out of this or to save ourselves. And so by taking that deep breath, we can get to the thinking part of our brain that really helps us sort of formulate what a good response would be. So the perfect example of this is that we've all experienced is when you're in an argument with someone or something's getting sort of heated or you're beginning to feel that kind of overwhelmed feeling and you're sort of in it. And then 10 minutes later, you can think of exactly the right thing to say.
Exactly.
And that's because those 10 minutes allowed all of those chemicals to subside and gave you access to that thinking part of your brain. So that's what it means to tame your lizard brain, is just to have some tips and tools and tricks and awarenesses that allow you to take that pause and really be in a responsive mode and in your thinking brain.
So slowing down the process is not a sign of weakness. In fact, it's a sign that you are really giving this some extra thought.
Exactly. And part and parcel with that is also one of the very first things I talk about in the book, which is about listening. If you're so busy formulating the response in your brain or trying to move things really quickly or operating from that fight or flight response, you're also not in a position or a stance to really listen well. And that, and it's funny, we teach a class at the world's largest airline, actually. And we always ask, what do great leaders do? And always, 98% of the time, listening is one of the top three things people say when we ask, what do great leaders do? Doesn't matter how old they are, their gender, what kind of industry they're in, those, it's always in one of those top three. So part of that slowing down is also about finding the time to really listen and not just to be talking and filling the space and giving the answer because that's what you think you should be doing. But really stopping to listen is a key thing to being a really great leader.
In your book, Finding Time to Lead, you talk about being a great listener based on two distinct techniques, focused listening and epic listening. Tell us about each of those.
Sure. So the first one that we use most of the time is what we call faux listening. So that's really where we usually are.
Yes.
And that's when we're trying to think about, like, how I'm going to respond, what story I'm going to tell, what's for lunch, right? So that's where we usually
yes.
are. The two, as you mentioned, the two kinds of listening that really make the difference are focused listening, which is when you're really paying attention to what the person is saying. So the example I often use here is when someone's giving you directions. You know, they're saying, turn left at this corner, make a right at that corner, and you really focus and you're saying, like, wait, so is that where that thing is? Okay, I got that. And you can feel yourself really noticing what they're saying. That's focused listening. Epic listening is a very special kind of listening where you're really tuned in to both what the person is saying and also their body language, the volume of their voice. Sort of, you can almost get a sense of kind of the energy of the conversation when they're excited and when they're sad and what's really going on. So I had an example of this class that we taught, and the people came back the next month, and one of the women there gave an example. She said, I have an example of epic listening. This is what I did. Somebody came into our office, and he was just completely, he said, you know, I can't get my work done. They're not getting their work done. This goal is ridiculous. I can't talk to this person, and just sort of just was venting about all of the things that were going wrong. And she said, I thought, oh, I could do epic listening here. So she listened and just paid attention to all of the things, not just what he was saying, but everything else. And then she looked at him and he kind of took a breath and kind of wrapped up. And she said, wow, it sounds to me like you're really overwhelmed. And he sat down in the chair and said, I am really overwhelmed. And she said, okay, well, let's figure out how to solve that. So she didn't get off into, like, I'll talk to this person and I'll solve that problem and I'll do that. She listened to what he was really saying. What he's really saying is, I'm overwhelmed and I can't do my job and it's making me feel really bad. And then she was able to tackle it from that perspective. So that's where epic listening is really, really helpful. And again, saves you time in the long run. They were able to get at the real problem and not all of the symptoms.
It's interesting. Effective listening is more than hearing, isn't it? It's much broader than that.
Yes, much broader than that. And it really is sort of keying into that other person. And, you know, it doesn't happen all the time. It doesn't need to happen all the time. But knowing that there are these three different ways of listening gives you the choice to tap into the one that you need at the moment that you need it. And that's the critical piece.
Couple minutes left in the program, going by way too quickly, talking about the new book, Finding
yeah.
Time to Lead, with us, Leslie Peters, a website, findingtimetolead.com. You start off talking about three fundamental shifts, and you talked about that a second ago. You start with number one, which you say is the most impactful. In fact, if you don't build on this, you're probably not going to be successful. That's from doing to being. Talk about that, because that's very basic, but it's very fundamental as well.
Yes. So we really focus on all of that doing. That's where the busyness comes in. That's where we're talking instead of listening. We're just doing things and checking them off the list. And it's not that we don't do things. We have to do things. That's really important. But we also have to pay attention to that being side. How are we showing up? How are we modeling for other people? What are the ways that we're interacting with people that build the kind of culture that brings people and keeps people in? That really flows from the leader and the ways that the leader chooses to interact. So being conscious about those choices is what then allows the doing to happen more easily and brings people in and gets them working together. Plus, it's just a lot more fun. It takes only a split second to show up as your best self. And take advantage of that. Do that as often as you can, and it really moves things forward in great ways.
You've worked for a number of years with CEOs, and they followed your principles and literally turned around their leadership skills. A minute or so left in the program. Talk about that when they had that sort of aha moment that it's like, wow, this is really working. For them, it totally changes how they go about leadership and how effective they are as leaders.
Yeah. So the CEO who wrote the foreword to my book is a man named Zach Boyers, who runs a subsidiary of a national bank. And the thing that he said was most impactful for him was the idea that he doesn't have to be anyone else, that the best and most effective leader he can be is being himself, and understanding how to be the best version of himself is the best way to be a leader, and that's what has produced movement, great forward movement in his organization, is not trying to be someone else, but getting clear about who he is when he's at his best, and making as many choices as often as he can every day to show up as that person. And that's then what people follow. So that's the best thing. Be your best self. Pay attention to that. And then you have all kinds of time to lead because you're leading all the time.
And you take us all the way through the process in the book, Finding Time to Lead, 7 Practices to Unleash Outrageous Potential. Leslie Peters is the author, national leadership expert. Her website is findingtimetolead.com. Book is available all across the country. Link on directly to Leslie's website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Leslie, I loved having a chance to read the book and talk about it. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it. Appreciate your great questions.
Well, thank you. The book is Finding Time to Lead, 7 Practices to Unleash Outrageous Potential. Information available at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.